Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to Hacker Public Radio Community News for the month of
April.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Joining me tonight are Dave. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
And Colin. How are you, Colin?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks.
This is your first time on the Community News.
It is, and given that the first show that I took part on was Pokey's audio book club, this may well be the first episode that goes out that I'm on.
Ah, that's... No, his will go out first, because for many different reasons. Anyway, for those of you just joining, or who have just joined Hacker Public Radio in the last month or so, community news is the thing that we do every month, just to give you an idea of what was going on in and around the HPR community. HPR community being all the people who listen to it, as opposed to all the people who are on the back end working feverishly, which are more people than you think. And as HPR is a peer-driven community, meaning if you're listening, you're supposed to be contributing in one way or another at least one show a year. This gives you an idea of what's happening on the mailing list, where most of the stuff goes on. But first, one of the things that we like to do is to welcome new hosts. And as I traditionally butcher them, I'll pass that over to Dave and Colin.
Right. Remember to push to talk, Dave. Yes, this month, so April's new hosts are X1101, which I have always stumble over because the numbers jumble in my head. But I think he also has difficulties saying it, judging from the shows I've heard. And John Duart, I think he pronounces it an E on the end, but Duart, I think.
Very good. And we're doing something slightly different from this month on with the hosts, in that we're only putting in the hosts once their show has been aired. Up until now, we've been adding new hosts, but we've got an amazing new script that does the community news show notes, which saves an awful lot of time and hassle. Thank you, Dave, for that.
You're very welcome.
And we'll be expanding on that later on as well. But first things that we like to do is go through some of the shows that were on last month and just have a little chat about them, give them some love. So the first show was OSI Layer 3, which was a breakdown of the OSI model on network communications, with an example of Layer 3 giving particular focus on geographically diverse host addressing. In this case, we were focusing mostly on the telephone system. So what did you all think of this show?
Yes, I like the joke. Yes. It was actually quite fun to listen to as well. I like the asides that some people inserted into their reading of phone books.
It was quite funny, the professional services as opposed to the non-professional services. Pokey who managed to give actual interesting, he was reading off actually area code or zip codes, was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Had I thought that a while, it would have been something useful. Mine was just all the various different variations of Pokey's name in some fictitious village in Ireland.
Yeah, yes. I listened to the episode all the way through, and every 5 minutes I'd be thinking, what is going on? It was quite good to listen to. It was quite interesting in parts. I like the extra bits that were thrown in that were quite interesting, but I kept coming to it thinking, is there a code in this that I need to be trying to work out?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long-standing tradition. If you go back to the first of April episodes on Hacker Public Radio, there's always been... we've always done something. At least when it falls on a weekday, we've done something. Their first one, I think, was the show was just played in reverse. So they pre-processed it, and it was all, and they're all still up there if you want to go and get them. And the best one was Dave Yates's. Many of you probably don't, new people. Dave Yates had a podcast, and he did it on his commute into work. And the tagline was he was driving 90 miles an hour down the freeway. And then he's given a nice episode on X11 configuration. And then at the end, you hear the car veer off and explode. That was a good show.
That's where the keep it between the ditches comment came from. That was the one where he didn't, presumably.
Presumably, yeah. Last year we had the OSI layer 2, which was the Morse code reading of the Wikipedia article, and we got two shows out of that. But this year was a thing has come up on HPR that you know, especially on the community news, that they are such a good host that you could hear them, you could listen to them reading a phone book, and hence that's where the origins of this one came from. It was actually quite funny. One of the chaps on the naming no names on the news group was doing an ongoing discussion about I expected an OSI layer 3, but all I hear is some people reading out the phone book. So there's a bit of toing and froing, and thankfully nobody let the cat out of the bag, and eventually he twigged it himself. So all yeah, good show, and thanks to everybody who contributed to that. So let's move on. The following day we had the second part in Batteries by Mr. X. This is on my referral list, to be honest. If you haven't listened to episode 1, go back, and before you buy any batteries or chargers, go back and listen to episode 1. Very, very good episode.
It made me realize, listening to this and the previous one, how many devices I probably killed by not treating the batteries properly. So it's I think everybody should be well aware of this sort of stuff.
Oddly enough, it was this episode was one that I was really looking forward to after the first one. And some of the things he just talks about in between some of the sections were referring to some of the equipment that he's got as really quite interesting.
Absolutely. I was actually, they're doing some renovation work in work, and I heard one of the contractors going, rrr, 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 and he kept at it. I was on my way down to go, don't do that, you're going to kill the battery. Anyway, right, shall we move on? What's on my podcast player? And if you go to this episode, you'll see that there's an icon now for the podcast recommendations series. It's a bit ugly, so I am calling upon the CSS experts. Please, please come and help me make this prettier. Thank you.
Oh, I don't think it's that bad, Ken. It's got a nice blue to it. I'm looking at it right now.
The icon's fine, but the positioning is crud. So, yes, we need our team of crack CSS experts descending on it. You know who you are. The following day was 1480 Continuous Ink Supply System, and this was an episode requested on I came across on IRC, and somebody had mentioned in there about continuous ink supply systems, and I had never used them. And oddly enough, on the very day that this aired, it had been in the reserve queue for a while, but on the day that this aired, my ink system, which had been running for over a year and a half, one of the ink cartridges went dodgy, even though the thing was full. So I went and got the syringe and reprimed it, and it's been printing fine ever since. It's still printing fine on the one thing. It's, if you don't have a continuous ink supply system and you do have children, you should seriously consider getting one.
Good advice, Ken.
Absolutely.
How long has it been running for then, if it's been in the reserve queue for a while? How long have you been running the system?
Oh, about a year, at least a year. Because I got it from my son's a year and a half now, and there's still about half, all the containers still about half full. And believe me, I printed A3 sheets on this, T-shirts for Ogcamp actually as well. I printed you know, just loads of stuff for laminating, and you know, loads of for birthday parties for kids, coloring, drawing things. And you just don't need to think about it. Just print, 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 print.
Sounds fantastic. I'll have to give it a look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want the same for laser printers.
Yeah.
A continuous toner system, please.
That would be impressive.
Good luck with that.
Can I just say before, that I mean examples of one of the really excellent examples of show notes. The show notes on here with the text, the links, and the YouTube videos are really comprehensive.
Thank you very much.
No problem. It just really helps in terms of picking it up and actually going through it. It's really handy for someone to then pick up and look into it and maybe replicate what you've done there, Ken.
Yes, as this is, I think, I'd like all the shows to have show notes like this, but this one particularly, I do tend to do stuff for myself, and I know that my target audience is me because I forget stuff. So if I document it properly, then I can go back and get it. So in actual fact, when the ink ran out, I went back to this page and then was able to play the video and just have a print. So yeah, it's pretty cool. But even if you're not into continuous ink supply systems, I think there is something there on how to pick a printer regardless. You know, what functions do you want? Will it work on Linux? Will it really work on Linux? And then that pretty much goes for any piece of kit that you want to get.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Okay, the next day in our privacy and security series, and the CSS really highlights how bad it is here because the warping and stuff is, or the wrapping and stuff is terrible, is an episode on encryption using Gmail. And this is Ahuka taking on this task for us, which I'm really glad he's doing, and how to do Gmail. I personally use Gmail via IMAP, and I'm only pulling in emails from Gmail now. I've more or less switched to ken@fallon.ie for all my correspondence.
I didn't know it was possible to do this with the webmail interface. That there'll be times I might want to do that, actually. I do the same as you. I use an IMAP interface to Gmail when I use Gmail. It's really useful.
It's very useful, and I hope that this thing will... Was it encryption? It does signing or not encryption? I'm not really, can't remember.
I can't remember.
It does one and not the other. But anyway, something to keep an eye on. And hats off to Ahuka for doing this stuff for us. The following day, in part of our podcast recommendation series with the big blue icon, thanks to openclipart.org, Ahuka with What's on My Podcast Player version 2. Am I skipping over ones here?
No, you're good.
Did we cover version 1 previously?
You did, yes, when you first mentioned the icon.
Ah, that's right. We forgot to talk about the show, actually. So, very good. lots of Doctor Who stuff. Didn't know he was a Doctor Who fan.
No, it's interesting looking at other people's lists of podcasts. It's fascinating. I'm just lining up to do one myself. Without flooding the market. Don't want to flood the market with these things. But.
No, actually, because I ran out of podcasts today with my seller thingy. So I'm now listening to back episodes of Resonance Frequency, ham radio podcast, whose founder started the Linux in the Ham Shack with our good friend K5 Tux. But okay. These ones are quite good, this series. There's no reason why... If you do a podcast series, that in a year or two you can't do another one, like as What's in My Bag episode, I did one that was in the backup queue that's coming up shortly, and I probably need to refresh it with the changes that has happened in my life since then. So these feel free to do more than one of these episodes if you come across additional podcasts or additional stuff in your toolkit that you want to share with us.
I was quite amazed at how many podcasts he was managing to squeeze into his time. I think my podcast list is probably about half that, and I struggle to listen to them all.
Are you speeding up your podcasts?
Sorry?
Do you speed up your podcasts?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm using a podcaster on Android that's now got the multiple speed on it. But even then, I can find it tricky to listen to them all. but there's certainly some there that I think I ought to get hold of and have a listen to just to check them out.
Absolutely. What I found interesting was that he was using Audacity to speed them up, whereas I use Sox, and you just put in Sox, the input dot, I don't know, MP3, and then output.org, and then you type the word tempo, and then 2, for instance, and that will speed it up twice, maintaining the pitch, and that's really fast.
Well, I mean, that's two methods that I've not even thought about before. I'm just using the actual media player to speed it up as it goes.
I have that now on my Rockbox player when I forget to do it, but I like to have all my shows sped up. Okay, then we had community news full of interesting topics. It was nice, actually, to get the guys in from Northeast Nelf Fest. Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
Cool. And the HPRQ status as well was an issue at the time, still is. Then we had Dux Jam, and they were submitting a sample of their show for us to experience.
Yeah, good. Enjoyed that. I enjoyed Andrew Conway's section on astronomy. In fact, I wrote to him and said, "Hope you're going to do some more for HPR." But I notice he's also done an article in Linux Voice on tracking comets with Python, I think it is.
Oh, very good.
So he's a one-time real astronomer, so it's good.
Excellent. The thing about TuxJam that used to drive me nuts was the mixture, because there's really good Linux talk and there's really good open source music. Or open source music, what am I saying? Creative Commons music. Mm-hmm. But I listen to my Creative Commons music podcast, obviously, at speed 1, and my Linux podcast sped up to 2. So they really don't fit into my day then. So now that I have Rockbox, I can speed up the talky bits. I probably shouldn't say that.
I can see your problem though, yeah.
LibreOffice Calc Cells. Again, I really like his approach to it. This is about where he barges in, actually. Ahuka does a LibreOffice series. He's up to 26 episodes, and he's just submitted another wedge up onto the website. And they are excellent. He's just completed a very thorough introduction to Word, and he's now starting a very thorough introduction to LibreOffice Calc. These episodes could be given to any person at all, and just have them sit down in front of the computer and listen to this. That is pretty much it. My brother would be one candidate for this, where he had... he was not a computer guy, and as part of a course, he needed to do some calculations in spreadsheets, and this would have been a very useful thing for him to do, because his lecturer did not explain the concepts very well at all.
History. I interested in the historical aspects of it. Was it this one that Hooker did the... no, it was the previous one, sorry.
Yeah, but that was also excellent.
About history. But as you say, a leisurely approach to it, not rushing through it and dealing with everything in great detail is great.
Something as simple as A1 instead of 1A. Mm-hmm. You know, you just caught somebody out there for 4 hours. Why is it, you know, it's always A1, it's never 1A. You wanted to say something?
I just really agreed with everything that you guys have said on it so far. It's I really enjoyed listening to the writer part of the series, and was really quite interested when it moved on to Calc. I use Calc quite often, so the first couple of episodes haven't been exceptionally useful, because he's covering a lot of the basic stuff, but even then I will still listen to the whole episode just to make sure I don't miss anything, because of the detail and quality that goes into those episodes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Following day was Linux Luddites episode 11, interview Rob Langley, And this was one I put up under the heading that this is a podcast that people need to listen to if they're not already listening to. And the interview was absolutely, absolutely excellent. He had some very, very good insights into the GPL. And folks, little background, little word on the grapevine, don't be surprised if you don't hear more related to this episode.
Intriguing.
There you go.
Yeah, it was good to hear the Luddites on HPR. I have been following them, but it's good to hear them, and hope that other people will pick up as well.
Yeah, I listened to the Luddites as well, and it was really good to see it get pulled out for the HPR crowd, because as you write in the show notes, Ken, it was a really good episode to listen to, and the interview was exceptionally interesting.
Yes, I was not, I, you know, you hear quite a lot about the GPL, and I've attended lectures from various different people about it, and you don't hear the other side of the arguments very often, and this was a nice to hear that other people's opinions.
And matched with the experience of use as well, which was quite handy. Sometimes when you get people talking about it, it can be a little theoretical, but by matching it exactly to practice really brought home the issues that he was talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And X1101, although if it's X, then that's hexadecimal, isn't it? So it should be 1101.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I think he referred to himself as X1101, so fine. Did his show with the patented technique of putting a microphone under somebody's nose and forcing them to do it. Yes, love these. I suspect we'll be hearing more from him in the future.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah, I would like to hear more from him. He's obviously a strong Arch advocate, which I find quite intriguing myself.
Yeah, Arch. Yes.
I haven't gone down that route yet, but I might do.
I have done. And what I'll say about Arch and Linux from scratch, Arch is brilliant because, you know, it takes the pain out of Gen 2. And also the stuff that you learn is very useful because it's generic Linux as opposed to Gen 2, which tends to be more BSD type information you learn. But the problem I've had with Gen 2 and Linux from scratch is the difficulty in installing stuff. And the problem I've had with Arch has been the difficulty in maintaining it. It takes a lot more maintenance. You need to be a lot more on the ball than you would be with other distros. And if you're being paid to do a job, and Linux is something that it's tolerated so long as you don't waste any time as a result of running it, then it's better, I think, in that situation to use something that's a little bit more controlled.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Go on, Colin. Okay, I was just about to say that I have to admit I've not used Arch, even though I did play with Gen 2 a few years back, and one of the reasons I haven't is probably because the extra amount of time in maintaining it, it'll just be too much of an overhead.
And all the Arch users out there who are scratching your head out right now, you know what you can do is either come on the Community News Show next month and talk to us about it, or record your own episode and submit it to Habaker Public Radio.
I would be fascinated to hear that, actually, because I built a new machine over Christmas, and sat for ages wondering what to put on it, and tried several things. Ended up with Debian testing, which I'm pretty happy with, but I'd really like to know why I should have chosen Arch. So yeah, bring them on, I say.
Good stuff.
On a similar note, it would be interesting to hear of people's experiences of Linux from scratch as well.
Painful.
That doesn't make for a very long podcast, Ken.
No, the reason why we experienced Linux from scratch was painful was that I put my back out, and this was a few years ago when I first had back issues. And it's probably something for my How I Got Into Linux episode, but I ended up trying a whole go of distros on my laptop during that period where I was off at home. So all of the distros were very painful. But it's a very, very useful thing to do. Very, very useful. Something I actually would like to do again. Now that my ambient knowledge of Linux has improved, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Ambient learning, the process of listening to a podcast, not knowing podcasts about a subject, not knowing a lot about that subject, but letting it waft over you until you start picking up stuff. I've just invented that term.
It would be nice if it worked. I'm not 100% convinced, but...
Well, I'm listening to quite a few of the ham radio podcasts and with the view to learning, to becoming a ham radio operator. Mm-hmm. And they start off with lots of terms that you don't know, but then after a while you hear so many interviews about the various different aspects that you kind of pick it up.
Yeah, I'm trying to, because I'm retired and got quite a lot of time on my hands, I determined to learn a new, completely new discipline while in my retirement. So I started off on the road to virology because I have a degree in biology. I thought, oh, that would be something I could cover. Boy, is it hard. It's really difficult.
Virology?
Virology. The subject I'm interested in is in viruses of the kind that make you sick type.
Wow.
But it's really hard. You need to understand biochemistry and molecular biology quite a lot. And I do struggle, I have to say.
I hope this will not interfere with your work on HPR.
Of course it will.
Alrighty. The next day, Keith Murray with a What's On My Podcatcher. And gosh, does this guy listen to a lot of podcasts. And a lot of interesting ones as well. I just added a few today to my podcatcher. He's also a Trekkie, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I like the way he did his show. It was really, really well put together and structured. I thought it was good.
Show notes quite cool as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a good way to do that type of thing, I think. But I've also looked at his list and grabbed a few. And I'm now up to 86.
Whoa.
Which is ridiculous.
Let's count how many I have. Anyway, I listen to more podcasts than you. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those competitions. No.
When I was off at home, I had a big backlog of them. And now that I'm commuting an hour and a half a day again, I'm horsing through them at no end of nuts. Okay, C prompt. Setting up a Raspberry Pi, RasBMC. Who was he talking to? Oh, yeah, his friend Matt. Going through the entire process. And this is pretty cool. It actually sounded very, very much like how any project goes with Linux. You're going great guns. It's far faster than you thought. It couldn't be easier. And then suddenly they're gone for 2.5 hours on some stupid driver issue. And then it turns out to be the power is not or something.
Yeah. Stream of consciousness, this was. I loved it. Go on, Colin.
Sorry, Dave, we seem to keep clashing. But it was interesting for me to listen to because I run a Raspberry Pi media center, but I'm using OpenELEC. So listening to someone else have to set it up from scratch and have a bit more flexibility, and it was quite interesting. But like you say, Ken, they did seem to fly along and then get caught up at one particular stage.
That's always nice to hear, that you. Well, at least it's not me. I also run OpenELEC as well, so simple and it works.
Sure does. Have you moved to the beta yet?
Nope. It's for the kids. It runs. I don't touch it. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Fair enough.
Well, one thing I do want to do is put on someday when I have time. I want to put on the DVB-T and the DVB-S on it. I have two USB, a DVB-T antenna for Dutch terrestrial stuff, which we never actually watch except when Sinterklaas comes in. in October, but that's also online as well. So yeah, and we watch CBeebies on the satellite. So I don't know. Someday it's on the list.
It's well worth doing. I've got the terrestrial DVB on our one, and it takes a little bit of getting used to begin with. But once you've got used to it, it's kind of hard to switch back again.
On this, on your Raspbian C?
No, it's on the OpenELEC.
Sorry, on the OpenELEC. Okay, you're doing a show, Dave. Make note. Requested topics.
Excellent. There's another one that I can add to the list of things that I ought to be doing.
See this? You know, anybody who has problems coming up with stuff that you think we would like to hear about, then just come and talk to me for 5 minutes. No, seriously, I want to do that because I am running OpenELEC, and I want to connect to exactly the same services as you. So cool. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'll look to put something together.
Cool. HPR 1490. HPR at NELF 2014 Part 1. And this is cool. I like the at the booth show things.
They were doing a great job of getting interviews there, I thought.
Yeah,
two excellent. Of them. In competition, was this the one when they were in competition? Yeah, it was.
Yes, yes. I had this one in the next video.
Don't think they announced a winner, but it was really good to hear them going up against each other like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, it's like I'd love to be able to have the cash where I could just, you know, drive around, do a flying rich in it and pick up everybody and we'll all head off to these shows. But, you know, you have at least the feeling of what the show felt like from the corridors with these sort of shows. So I personally like them. The next day we had Landir. Dave, help.
I think it's Landir. I think that's how he says it.
Okay. Part of the privacy and security, the heartbeat vulnerability put it very, very much in clear terms to us as to why, what it is and why it's important and why we should be scared and basically the mess that was Heartbeat. Couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah, impressed that he can do that while driving home. I don't know how he did it. I don't have enough brain cells to talk about something as deep as that as well as drive, but applaud anybody who can.
Absolutely. I think it might be worth adding the link to the XKCD cartoon on Heartbleed as well, because that had supplemented quite nicely.
Yes, actually. And that the corresponding license is approved, or they use the similar license. Cool. Yes. Somebody, can you make a note of that, Colin, to email me about that?
Yeah, definitely. Not a problem.
Otherwise, I'll listen to this episode and hear it anyway. But yes, nice one. One point that he did mention was about why Heartbeat was necessary when you had a TCP/IP session. But I understood that it could be to do with. I would have thought myself that a TCP/IP session you would terminate with the delivery of the packet, and then later on. A new packet would be come in, would be, say, your Heartbeat packet would come in, that would be a different TCP/IP session. So, there you go. But then again, on the other hand, I've heard other people say that would not be the case. But again, I would not be an SSL expert. But this was a very embarrassing vulnerability for the open source community, and proves that while with many eyes, any bug is shallow, but if there's only two eyes on it, four eyes in this case, it can be quite deep. Okay, moving on with that depressing topic to something more lighthearted. HPR at NELF 2014 Part 2. This time it's personal. And we got a nice interview from a Pol.com Security Weekly, which is would be a recommended podcast if a little bit immature by times and bordering on the sexist. At least raunchy.
Okay. See, there was a mumble chat with some guy called Ken Fallon on this one.
Yes, there was. This, yes, there was. Which was interesting and weird to hear, I must say. Despite the fact I knew it was being recorded, but it was still weird.
It's quite nice. It made it feel a bit more real.
All right, the next gen is you, Tlatu. Who'd have thought Tlatu was a gamer? And he did two episodes on putting a Steam machine together. First episode was concentrating mostly on hardware, which is a useful episode regardless if you want to build your own computer. And the second episode was more on the games and the types of controllers and that sort of stuff as well.
Yes, definitely an interesting listen. Completely agree with you, Ken, in the fact that the first one, going through the hardware, was particularly useful whether you were setting up a machine for Steam or not. But just understanding a bit more how Steam's going to go on the systems and how you can go about setting up one that would be useful to be able to use and play the games on was quite handy. And it was nice to hear Tlatu back. I don't remember hearing him for a little while on HPR.
Yes, he's gone to New Zealand where the grass is green and he gets to work with Linux all day and then we don't hear about from him. No, I've heard from him, so I suspect he'll be around. The thing actually with Tlatu is you don't hear him on HPR when we have enough shows, and if you hear Tlatu, it means we don't have enough shows. Simple.
Okay, that's a good barometer.
And that is not an excuse not to send in shows just because you want to hear more Tlatu. And then OpenOffice calculations and formula bars. Very useful explanation. And one thing that I've noticed about OpenOffice coming from Excel is the way it has of doing that click thing that you can click on another cell. While it's very useful, full stop, it makes transitioning between Microsoft Excel and LibreOffice Calc quite frustrating. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. I work in both Excel and Calc a bit. And yeah, that is one of the biggest differences actually in your day-to-day working is setting up formulae and grabbing other cells. I think this is a great example actually of what you were saying before, Ken, about how you can put it down in front of people again. I know it's kind of saying the same thing to a degree, but listening to this episode, I went back and opened up Calc just to double check what Ahuka was telling us and was sitting there going, oh yeah, I'd not noticed that before.
It's amazing you say that actually, because I wrote notes to myself here saying there's aspects here that are there in plain sight that I had never noticed. I had not used those buttons that Ahuka pointed out, partly I think because I'd come from other spreadsheets way back in time where you didn't have that sort of fancy stuff. You had to type it all into the cell, so you just get into the habit of doing it that way. But it was just so useful to have somebody saying, look, see that thing there? That's what it does. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And just by the by, folks, if you think this is all text or if you think this is all audio, there's a link on every one of these episodes to a complete blog post with screenshots and worked out examples. For example, in this, using parentheses in formulas about priority and nesting and given, what do you call that, Dave? Priority?
I don't know what you're getting at.
When you're doing a formula and you want 4 multiplied by 5 first rather than...
You mean the old BODMAS thing, brackets over division, multiplication, etc. That thing, the ordering of evaluation.
Yes, ordering evaluation.
I don't know what what term you're fishing for though.
He used it in the thing.
All right.
Resolving ambiguity. Order of operations, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, the order of operations, whether multiplication is first. So 2 plus 3 multiplied by 4. Is it 2 plus 3? First, and then multiply the product 5 by 4, or is it 3 times 4 and then plus 2? Using parentheses helped that.
Yeah, I think that's also another great example of the way Ahuka runs his introductions and how he does his tutorials for beginners as well, because I mean, I work in an industry where maths is taken for granted, and to be honest, sometimes if I'm teaching someone, I probably never have even thought to take them through that.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it, and that's what I was saying earlier with my brother, who's, you know, don't get me wrong, he's just not a computer guy. He doesn't work with computers. He works with like big engines and big machines and designs them and makes them and stuff. But the whole concept of a spreadsheet, the information he was given was just absolutely terrible. Terrible, and I just wanted to say, go listen to this stuff. You know, unfortunately, this wasn't available. I would now just go listen to this stuff, read the article, and, you know, within, it'll be 4 hours of nice relaxing, a nice relaxing pace, and at the end of it, you will understand exactly what it is, and you'll be doing it properly. You'll be, you know, using your sheets properly.
And I completely agree with you, Ken, about going to follow the links through to the tutorials on Ahooka's site. I've done it myself, and it's certainly worthwhile going through and getting that extra detail.
Yeah, if you're listening along in the train or something, it's definitely have a little browse before or after, but don't just listen to the shows and not go. Anyway, enough about Ahooka. The man sickens me. He's taken over HPR. Anyway, not at all. Wiki on the Raspberry Pi, Mr. X, who's also taken over HPR, more, actually all the better. Those guys can continue sending in shows, and I'll be happy not to do more of my own. And this was setting up a wiki and various different types of wiki on a Raspberry Pi. And I know lots of people are familiar with MediaWiki and other ones, but these DocuWikis and Wikidot are really cool small wikis that take the pain out of making tea, really, of a website. They're just really nice, handy note-taking wikis. And they can all, a lot of them, just save text files, and you just put that into Git, and you got versioning controlling, and your backups and stuff. So I'll stop waffling now and let you talk.
No, it was cool. I enjoyed that one. I'm always looking for good ways of typing notes. As I've said before, I have no memory these days, so I like to write things down. MediaWiki's great, but is it heavy? These seem to be a lot more approachable.
Absolutely, yes. And they're actually quite cool. I had a DocuWiki in work for a while, and then we moved off that to something else. But they're just little text files and very, very light. Okay, so the next day, we were only two more to go, was Practical Math, which is part of the series, Practical Math. And it explains so much about the traditional English-based or imperial system and how to do the units and stuff. What I found interesting, actually, was the history of what a furlong is and how a furlong relates to a mile and all that. Chains, one furlong, one chain multiplied by furlong multiplied by 10 shields, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I love that. The history was my favourite bit.
It's pretty cool. I love that stuff.
I didn't know that. When I was at school, I think I just missed having to do stuff in rod, pole, perch and stuff, because a lot of the books we got given had all those measurements in. You didn't cover rod, pole and perch, actually, but chains and stuff. Did he cover rods? I can't remember.
No.
But it's amazing.
Well, he did and cover rods, yeah. Not, I don't see poles in their or perches.
Yeah. There's so many of these weird things. And, I like the history of what furlongs are in relation to oxen pulling ploughs and stuff.
Makes sense.
Very cool.
Okay, moving on. Personal Open VPN, John Duarte,
I think.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I traditionally butchering people's names. First episode, brilliant episode. Continue doing them. I will be using this myself.
Yeah, so will I'm it's one of the I'm looking to put to one side in order to make sure I can make use of it and actually follow it through properly.
Absolutely. I'm doing lots of port forwarding at the minute, which is fine, but at a certain point, yeah, kind of want to go, okay, I want to route all my traffic, including stuff on my phone, which doesn't really support. It's just more of a pain to enter in a SSH key, but anyway, this is a very good episode. Okay, so that was that for the episodes for this month, if I'm not mistaken. Am I mistaken, Dave?
You are not. No, that's it.
Super. And without further ado, we will go and have a look at what's going on the mail list. And the best place to find out that is if you go to the Hacker Public Radio website and you go to About and G Main Mail List Archive, click on that, and you will get a page which will give you an interface to the HPR mailing list, including RSS feeds, which are out of date and not working for some reason. I've mailed the guys about that over there, but seeing as it's a volunteer service, we should just allow them to fix it in their own sweet time. So a lot of traffic this month was with the responding to the something went wrong with episode 1477, and if you want to read that correspondence, have a little look on the website. I don't really want to cover it here. And some discussion about the community news and about the usefulness of it. And then there was a discussion whether we should put a reserve slot in for the community news. And I think we all agreed that yes, it was a community show, so it should have a community. You should have a reserve slot, and if you want to be involved in that, you can come on to the show itself. Then there was a discussion about the comments system. So this was an interesting discussion, actually, about the forums. There are forums over on that Binrev, who's a stank, who's part of the Binary Revolution project, who funds HPR. Who funds the servers that HPR runs on. They have a forum over there and a forum for every episode. But we also have the comment system that's on the HPR website. So then there was discussion whether we should use the forums, whether we should use the comment system, or whether we should use Discuss. And I don't know if it was on the mailing list or not about the discussion about whether to use proprietary software or not. Was that on the mailing list, or did that come to me directly?
I don't remember seeing it on the mailing list.
Okay, so it came to me directly. Some people had, more than one person had concerns about running it on a proprietary software and running it on where accounts would have to be generated and where IP addresses might be logged. So that is something that is of interest to me. And on a by the by, I mentioned in the last show that there was an RSS feed for the comments section, and as it turns out, I was wrong, not for the first time. But I will rectify that. And I think Dave and I were thinking about this, or at least I was, and I was thinking that we could simplify the current comments section, the current comment system, doing it ourselves. Basically, there's a PHP library out there for sanitizing input, and were we to do that and just put it into a table ourselves, we could maintain the history of the old comments and basically switch over to this, and then it would be similar to the way we post a show, only that it would go into the comments section. So I think that would probably be the easiest thing to do. Thoughts?
I quite like the idea of a homebrew comment system, but I don't have much of a handle on how big a job it is, but it's got nothing to do with anything, really.
I think I can do it. It's just a question of time, but then it would be a question of time for any of the topics. Mm-hmm. One thing that we did do was put the comments viewer, make the comment viewer more visible. So the comment viewer is now under the P, and it's also under the about section, show comments. So the comment viewer, we can actually go through it now about discussions that were held last month. When was what month are we supposed to be looking at? April,
I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so Deep Geek said happy April to the shows, and Porky made the comment that to his show navigation that they updated the interface, so he's going to need to do a new show, and I replied going yes. I also replied to the John O'Bacon and Stuart Language talk with Porky relating to Ubuntu is not equal to the ONI GUI, with my criticism from last month's show that, and essentially, you can read it if you wish. Tony says TuxRadar is now Linux Voice, and that was in relation to Ahuka's What's on My Podcast Player, and I don't think we should criticize Ahuka because that show was in the reserve queue for a while. So, one major issue with TuxJam 31 episode 1484 was their misspelling of the word whiskey, which, as everybody knows, is spelt with whiskey, with an E, W-H-I-S-K-E-Y. The only proper whiskey is spelt with an E. Brother Mouse says the mousepad in relation to what's on my podcast player. He speeds up his shows 20% so that it just sounds normal. CT has a comment about Linux version in relation to Coffee Stain Studios and the Sanctum games, is that you can now install the beta version of Sanctum 2 and try it out. It works really well. C-Prompt says it's a good show to Keith Murray on What's on My Podcast Player. Delta Ray says there's a new desktop recording program in relation to TuxJam 31 called Simple Screen Reader. Philip Marley says background music. He asks Sigflip what music she's playing in the background of Genesis Music Driver, which was that 8-bit sort of stuff. Borgu says great interview, and this is in relation to Linux Luddites episode 3. NY Bill says oops, misspoke, and he just realized that towards the end of his episode, this is something for episode 1503, which hasn't been released yet, so that's okay. Free, like GNU, says comments about Tlatu's The Next Gen is You, saying PCPartPicker.com is good for exploring combos. So more on that if are in the show notes. And Anonymous says the guy sounds like a teacher. He should produce online videos with relation to Ahuka or LibreOffice Calc. And I couldn't agree with him more. So, the Audiobook Club had some requests for audiobook. They have recorded Nathan Lowell's episode on the Showman tale, The Showman. And they're new book is something.
I ought to know that, and I can't remember it. I will look it up.
Called The Crown Conspiracy, which I've just finished reading, and it's read by Nathan Lowell, so it's also very good. We had a call for help with some of the series, and X1101 and Dave have started helping with that. So basically that is an attempt to clear out the series, clean them up, and if there's only one or two episodes in a series, to take those, the series name, and put it in the series tag, so they'll come up in the tag cloud as opposed to dedicated series. So what you know will be a series will have a icon next to it. How does that sound, Dave?
Sounds great to me, absolutely.
So it'll have a description and an icon next to it. We'll make it a series, and anything else that doesn't is liable to be turned into just a cloud. A cloud. That's not to say if it just it becomes more popular, it won't become a series in its own right.
The borderline between tags and series is a little bit hazy in my mind, but to work on that a bit. But
I think what's in your toolkit, what's in your podcast player, these are series, and then other stuff isn't. if it's a series, if you know it's a series.
That's the problem, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Now write some code to do that. Thanks very much. Call for shows. We're always looking for shows. If you look at the graph on the front of, if you go to give shows and then calendar, you will see a graph, and it's like a saw going up and down and up and down and up and down. And we like it going up and down, varying between 15 and 10 days to the next person in the queue. That's kind of the ideal. Getting down to 5 is a bit scary. Going up above 15 is fine, but you should... you then have the option of spreading your shows out on another day so that you still leave a few free slots. So we like the free slots around, try and keep that around 10. So that requires people to be sending in shows all the time. And if you notice that there's a big glut of shows that's come in, spread your show out so that you're filling up weeks into the future. But we always need shows. We use a lot of them, 260 shows a year, 290, I don't know, can't do the maths in my head. Somebody write some sort of logic for that. So, send in shows. Right now, we only have 10 days to the next show, which by the time you're listening to that, will be... We have nothing scheduled after this show. So, if you're listening to this show, we just better hope that people have sent in shows. So, send in shows, always. So, other items on the news... Kevin sent a link to a free software song mashup, which was quite hilarious, I must say, and probably also violated copyright on a whole go of other other shows. But have a listen to it; it's brilliant. HP Audiobook Club, yes, we've spoken about that. And then I put in out a request for people who are interested in doing a ham radio podcast to get in touch. People are around the topics explaining the electromagnetic spectrum to me. And some people have contacted me directly with very good explanations. It's becoming clearer, but it's not 100% clear to me. And we had an email from our very good friend CT, who was official press up at the Retro Spielmassen, the Retro Games Convention. So very, very happy to hear that. Our man in Sweden, as we like to say. And, oh, there was an email from me. We did, Dave and I, took it upon ourselves to tidy up the database quite a bit. So quite a lot of... people who have not contributed shows who were hosts have been taken out of the database, essentially. And we've done some other cleanups. I've added on the I've added icons. So if you have on your host page, so if you go about and hosts, you see that there are icons coming in. That's nothing new. That's been there for a while. So if you've had a Gravatar icon, which is a website out on the internet, I believe it's related to WordPress. And if you have an email there, it sends over a hash of your email address. And then if it's got an email, it sends back the icon associated with that hash. So it's quite good privacy. One thing that concerned me a little bit about the privacy of it was that if somebody goes to that page in the website, then Gravatar would know that all these calls are coming, so that they would know that you're coming from Hacker Public Radio. So I was a bit concerned about that. So now I put in a script to download the icons once an hour locally to the server on HPR, and they're served from there. So if you change your Gravatar icon, it might take up to 60 minutes for that to propagate. Make sense?
Fantastic. Very good.
And if you do not want to use Gravatar, you don't have to. You can simply email a PNG 80x80 to me, and I will add it manually to the file server. Also, I would appreciate it if people would send in a bio spiel. This is not intended to be a website. It's just intended to be a few lines about who you are, what your interests are, and a short synopsis. Basically, I'm an Irish man living in the Netherlands. I probably could give it a little bit more. Something like your website, Twitter, Identica, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, whatever, your email address, your public key, probably. I don't know, really. It's supposed to be a kickoff page where people can get more information about you. It's not going to be your blog, but it's going to be a link to your blog. It's the elevator pitch of who you are, and we can put that on here. there are, especially if you've got PGP set up, I'm interested in you putting in your PGP, because I've been discussing this with some members of the community about how we could use PGP to have you edit these pages on the website without having to authenticate or whatever. Use PGP as the authentication mechanism. But this would be kind of cool. The small sentence blurb will be put out at the in the episode, so on the RSS feed and on the website, it would have your photo and host ID, and then, you know, something like, today's episode is brought to you by Ken Fallon, and then in, you know, brackets or, you know, emphasized text, Ken is an Irishman living in the Netherlands, he's a father of blah and blah and blah and blah, and is interested in blah and blah and blah, that sort of stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I like the sound of that. Yeah, yeah.
Certainly adds a bit more of a kind of personal touch to what's going on, I guess, in a structured way.
Yeah, I don't want it to be Google Plus-y or Facebook-y. I want it to be people have control over it. So there's a small little thing that you say that you decide what it is, then you put it up, and you choose not to, then nothing comes up. That's absolutely fine. And that it goes to your website so that... And if that website happens to be your thing in Google Plus, well, that's fine by me. But you're making the decision. Plus, it adds a little bit of color to the website when you browse down. It seems like, you know, it's right now I'm looking at how I got into computers with Charles and NJ, and it looks, you know, it's kind of nice having a little picture of the person there. And that is all I have to say about that. Anyone else?
Nothing more from me, I think, other than thanks for having me on for the community news. It's been good to be here.
Thanks for having me on. As this is a community show, anybody can come on at all. People, you must understand this. I don't want to do this show. You have to come on and do it. And if it's if there's a few guys in the US and who want to do it at another time, that's okay as well. Doesn't have to be me. Dave has done a lot of stuff in the last month. I'm really, really... thanks very much, Dave. It really helped me out with some of the database stuff as well. And a lot of things that have been bugging me for a long period of time have been resolved, except the multiple host thing, which we're working on. I have proposed a very elegant, efficient solution, and Dave has slapped me in the face saying, no, it's crap. But yeah. I will persevere.
You're elegant. I'll have to do it. We have to do an HPR on that, actually, and have a wee discussion, a round table discussion about the delights of doing proper map tables to join many to many tables together versus a sort of pudding of stuff that you fish around in with a stick.
Right, Dave. Yes. I'm not the one who's completely replicating the entire database, hello? Anyways, this is my life. It's been an eye-opener this month about how databases work. So, pretty cool. But actually, we've done some other stuff, like tidying up the episode, some of the other long-standing things, but no. You probably won't even notice some of the changes that have been going on, but I do.
All right. There's still a bunch to be worked on, but... it's been fun. I've had fun this past month.
Yes, one thing that I did do was on the complete episode guide. We have put in now the short one-line summary is in there. Before this, there was a time when we had the entire show notes for everything and it took an hour and a half to render. Now we just put in the episode title and the host and when it was hosted, but now we're also putting in the short synopsis of what it is. And yes, I wanted to talk to you about this, folks. I need your help. I want volunteers to go back and listen to old shows, and I want to split it up so that somebody listens to show X to Y and somebody else listens to show A to Z. Or that's a bad example. Somebody listens to shows 1 to 20. Somebody listens to 20 to 40, 40 to 60. Yeah, so that we can take chunks and write this synopsis and get some keywords out of it and do show notes where there are no show notes, that sort of thing. Basic tidy up. We've got lots and lots of stuff that is not out of date. that people are not aware of, loads of stuff on SSH that I still go back to, and you can't find the episode because there's no show notes there, or there's no synopsis, or we need people to volunteer to do that. And for a limited time only, you can avoid your one show a year thing by contributing to that effort. And you might even get a sticker. Okay, anything else, folks? Hello?
No, nothing here. Sorry, I was just dealing with my cat, who is determined to come and join in this podcast.
Yes, I thought I heard her from time to time.
She's bored. She's not got... my daughter's away at the moment, and she plays with them more than I do, so she's saying, I'm bored. Play with me. It's the way of having pets.
Okay, guys, I'm going to go and say hello to my wife and do other stuff. Colin, do you have something to say?
No, nothing more from me.
Okay, Colin, do you want to start off the Free Software song and we can play us out?
If I have to.
Join us now and share.
The software will be free.
Hackers, you'll be free. Okay, folks, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.